We're going to talk today about Joshua and the last great day. We'll go to Leviticus 36, where it gives the command for this day. It touches on the Feast of Tabernacles just finished. It says, Leviticus 23:36. For 7 days you bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the eighth day there shall be a set-apart gathering for you, and you shall bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a closing festival. You do no servile work. So, and we will start with John 7:37. About this day. We don't have many scriptures about the last great day, but this one we do have, and it's very important. John 7:37. And on the last day, the great day of the festival, Joshua stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me, and let him who believes in me drink. As the scripture said, out of his innermost shall flow rivers of living water." Joshua is quoting, in a way, from Isaiah 44, verse 2. Isaiah 44, 2. "Thus said Yahweh, who made you and formed you from the womb, who helps you, said, 'Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and Yeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I pour water on the thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I pour my spirit on your seed and my blessings on your offspring.'" Hallelujah. Verse 4, "And they shall spring up among the grass like willows by streams of water. One says, 'I belong to Yahweh.' Another calls himself by the name of Jacob. Another writes with his hand, 'Unto Yahweh,' and names himself by the name of Israel." Going back to John 7, verse 39, he said this concerning the Spirit, about the quotation from Isaiah, which those believing on him were about to receive, for the set-apart spirit was not yet given, because Joshua was not yet esteemed. Verse 40, "Many from the crowd, when they heard the word, then said, 'This truly is the prophet.'" That's the prophet. They were talking about the prophet forecast by Moshe, from Deuteronomy 18:18? I think so. Others said, "This is the Messiah." But others said, "Does the Messiah then come from Galilee? Did not the scripture say that the Messiah comes from the seed of David and from the village of Bethlehem, where David was?" So a division came about among the people because of him, and some of them wished to take him, arrest him. But no one laid hands on him. The officers, therefore, came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never has any man spoken like this man." So one thing we're going to talk about this evening is about Joshua and the Sukkot water drawing festival. Sukkot is an 8-day long feast, including tabernacles and the last day, and that's a lot of feasting. The first evening and day are a high day, but the end of the feast is even more so. In fact, the last day is the epitome of the festival of Sukkot. You might say the epitome of all time. We believe this day symbolizes the everlasting time when all believers will live with Abba Yahweh and Yahshua. Hoshana Rabbah is a request for great salvation. And that's on the seventh day that is sounded, followed by Shemini Azeret. That's eighth day of the assembly in Hebrew. And Simchat Torah, which we've already heard a little about. That's the joy of the Torah. I've seen a video of old men dancing. They go to the Torah cabinet and take out the Torah and hold it in their arms, and they're dancing for joy with the Torah. Joy of the Torah, Simchat Torah. Yahshua went to celebrate the Feast of Sukkot in Jerusalem, and in John chapter 7, he describes what Yahshua said and did at this climatic time 2,000 years ago. But first of all, a bit of background. The joy of drawing water. By the time of Yahshua, a water libation ceremony had become part of the tradition of the Feast of Tabernacles. The priests would go down to the Pool of Siloam in the city of David area in Jerusalem, just south of where the Western Wall is today. And they would fill a golden vessel with the water there. Then they would go up to the temple through the water gate. I wonder if that's how it got its name. Accompanied by the sound of the shofar. And then they would pour the water so that it flowed over the altar, along with wine from another bowl. This would begin the serious prayers for rain in and there was much rejoicing at this ceremony. Here's how the Talmud described it, the important book of the Jews. We take it with a grain of salt, but in this case it's kind of interesting. He who has not seen the rejoicing at the place of the water drawing has never seen rejoicing in his life. At the conclusion of the last festival day of Tabernacles, they descended to the court of the women, where they had made a great enactment. There were golden candlesticks with four golden bowls on the top of each of them, and four ladders to each, and four youths drawn from the priestly stock, whose hands held jars of oil. There was not a courtyard in Jerusalem that was not illuminated by the light of the place of the water drawing. Men of piety and good deeds used to dance before them with lighted torches in their hands and sing songs of praises. And Levites without number, with harps, lyres, cymbals, trumpets, and other musical instruments, were there on the 15 steps leading down from the court of the Israelites to the court of the women, corresponding to the 15 songs of ascents in the Psalms. And that's from the Babylonian Talmud. Interesting, I thought. That's what was happening at the time of Yahshua. The water ceremony refers to this passage in Isaiah 12. It's Isaiah 12, beginning at verse 2. See, El is my deliverance. I trust and am not afraid. For Yahweh is my strength and my song, and he has become my deliverance. And you shall draw water with joy from the fountains of deliverance. One of the names for this day is Hoshana Rabbah, which means great salvation. And this is the same as Yahshua's name, they say, salvation. The Hebrew word literally says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of Yahshua. So now let's see what John 7 tells us about Yahshua at the eighth day, the climax of the Feast of Sukkot. We'll go back to John 7, beginning at verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the festival, Yahshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, and let him who believes in me drink. As the scripture said, out of his innermost shall flow rivers of living water. The passage discusses all of Yahshua's teaching at Sukkot in Jerusalem and explains that when he was speaking of this living water, he was referring to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, which was to be poured out on all believers. How about that? No wonder it caused sparks to fly and discussions about whether he was the Messiah or not. Yahshua was also referencing Isaiah 55, a chapter calling the people of Israel in particular to salvation. It begins like this, Isaiah 55, verse 1. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no silver, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without silver and without price. If it doesn't have a price and you don't need silver, how are you buying it? I don't know. The same theme appears in the climax of our great story in Revelation 22, and we'll get to that. To get the full wonderful story of this last great day festival, we'll start with the soon coming return of Messiah at Revelation 19:6. Now this is at the beginning of the millennium, and we talked about this a few days ago. So Revelation 19:6, and I heard as the voice of a great crowd, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunders, saying, Hallelujah, for Yahweh El Shaddai reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him praise, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has prepared herself. Who knows who the wife of the Messiah is? Just one or two hands? Okay. An ancient Greek philosopher said, know thyself. Maybe that would apply here. We are the wife, the bride of the Messiah. Okay. Verse 8 of Revelation 19. And to her, the bride, was given to be dressed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the Kodesh ones. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of Elohim. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see, do not do it. I am your fellow servant and of your brothers who possess the witness of Yahshua. Worship Elohim, for the witness of Yahshua is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw the heaven opened, and there was a white horse, and he who sat on him was called trustworthy and true, and in righteousness he judges and fights. In Acts 10, we see a supporting scripture to that. It's Acts 10, beginning at verse 34. Acts 10:34 says, and opening his mouth, Kepha said, Truly, I see that Elohim shows no partiality. He had been called to preach to a Roman soldier. But in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. He sent the word to the children of Israel, bringing the good news, peace, through Yahshua the Messiah. He is master of all. You know what word came to be throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the immersion which Yohanan, the immerser, proclaimed. How Elohim did anoint Yahshua of Nazareth with the set-apart spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for Elohim was with him. Well, in spades. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all he did, both in the country of the Yahudim and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a timber. Elohim raised up this one on the third day and let him be seen, not to all people, but to witnesses, those having been chosen before by Elohim, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Now, verse 42 of Acts 10, and he commanded us to proclaim to the people and to witness that it is he who was appointed by Elohim to be judge of the living and the dead. Thomas was a witness. Yahshua was the leader of a small Sanhedrin. In the Talmud, we have some requirements for a small Sanhedrin. There has to be 120 men, and they had that. It's recorded in Acts. And there must be 12 officers, two prosecutors, two defenders, two sheriffs, and we think Peter was one of the sheriffs because he had a sword at the time Yahshua was arrested, and two witnesses. And we think Thomas was one of the two witnesses because he said when they told him they'd seen Yahshua, he said, I'm not going to believe it until I see it with my own eyes, put my fingers in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side. And later, Yahshua appeared, and Thomas was there, and he said, Yahshua said, go ahead, put your hands in the nail prints. And Thomas said, no, I believe. But he had to do that because he was a witness. That was his job. And he couldn't be a credible witness unless it was something that he had seen. So, sticking up for my buddy, Thomas. Okay, going back to Revelation 19, we're in verse 12. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, having a name that had been written, which no one had perceived except himself. And having dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. Verse 14, and the armies in heaven, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. What kind of dress is that for fighting a war? Followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of El Shaddai. And on his robe and on his banner he has a name written, Sovereign of Sovereigns, Master of Masters. And there's an interesting twist on that verse, Revelation 19:16. The King James says that message was not written on his banner, it was written on his thigh. But if you understand that the book of Revelation was originally written in Hebrew, then you can see where that error came. Thigh and or leg and banner are very similar. One is ragel and the other is dagel. And the two letters R and D in Hebrew are very similar. One, the R has a rounded corner, and the D has up there like a lowercase R in English. And if that post at the top is not clearly written, then you could mistake an R for a D, and you'd translate it ragel instead of or doggle instead of ragel, which was intended. So that's good information that shows that Revelation was probably written in Hebrew, and that can be important. No one has his name written on his thigh, and banner fits much better if you understand the problem in writing Hebrew. Okay, verse 17 of Rev 19. And I saw one messenger standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in mid heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great Elohim, to eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of strong ones, and the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to fight with him who sat on the horse and his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, and that's referring back to other passages in Revelation, which if we had read the whole book, should we do that? Not tonight. with him was the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he led astray those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. The two were thrown alive into the lake burning with sulfur. 19:21, and the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Kind of a messy chapter. Revelation 20. If I go into other scriptures, keep your finger in Revelation. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw a messenger coming down from heaven, having the key to the pit of the deep, and a great chain in his hand. And he seized the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. This is at the beginning of the millennium. And he threw him into the pit of the deep and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should lead the nations no more astray until the 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he has to be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And the lives of those who had been beheaded because of the witness they bore to Yahshua, and because of the word of Elohim, and who did not worship the beast nor his image, and did not receive his mark upon their foreheads or upon their hands. And they, these people who were resurrected at the coming of the Messiah, they lived and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. And we heard about that a few days ago. Verse 5, and the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. So at the beginning of the 1,000 years, when Yahshua returns, he calls up those who have died in the Messiah and those believers who are still alive at that time, and they come up and join him in the air, and as we mentioned then, they make a circuit around the earth and call up everyone out of their graves and out of their homes, wherever they are, if they're still alive. And then all the other people who are not believers in Yahshua at the time of his return, they did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. So during the 1,000 years, we have those living humans who did not get killed by the plagues, you know, the messengers who had bowls of plagues that they poured out. This one's for famine, this one's for disease and war and other things. And that killed off a large portion of the humans on the earth. But also a large portion still remained and lived on into the millennium and were ruled by Yahshua and the resurrected believers. Okay. Blessed and set apart is the one having part in the first resurrection. That's when Yahshua comes, that resurrection. The second death possesses no authority over these, but they shall be priests of Elohim and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years have ended, Satan shall be released from his prison, and he shall go out to lead the nations astray, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. And someone suggested that maybe China and Magog, maybe Moscow, Russia, to gather them together for battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And they came up over the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the set apart ones and the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from Elohim out of the heaven and consumed them. And they're, you know, an army in good battle dress, helmets, steel helmets and all that, and a bolt of thunder and fire came down and consumed all of them. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil who led them astray was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet, one translation, where the beast and false prophet were cast or had been cast. And they shall be tortured day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and this is an important passage, and him who was sitting on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne, and books were opened. I don't have my books with me, they're on my computer, but that's the book he's talking about. Most of you have one in your lap. Books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from what was written in the books, in the Bible, according to their works. So the Bible puts up the standard, and people put up their works, not intentionally a lot of times, but when these two match and the works are according to the scriptures, that's good. If they oppose each other and the works are contrary to the scriptures, that's not good. And the sea, verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and the grave gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. So if you think works aren't important, just faith is all you need, read this chapter. Each one will be judged according to his works. And death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20:15, and if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. In the early days of microelectronics, we started building chips. And we would build them on silicone sheets, round discs. And in the early days, yields were small. We might get 1 or 2% in those early days. And the rest of them were trash. Send them back to the silicon factory to be made into new discs. And that's kind of what Yahweh is doing with mankind. He's looking for a few good men, as one organization says. And it's not easy to qualify. It goes kind of against human nature. We are inclined to sin. And there are many passages in the Bible where Yahweh looks down and says, it's not working. They are so bent on sinning that we're not getting any yield from this batch. But things have been improving and changing. Yahshua's appearance on the earth was a mighty force in increasing the yield. Still, it's not much. And as it says, death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death. And if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, things get a little more upbeat here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. There's some big changes coming. And I, Yohanan, the author of the book of Revelation, saw the set-apart city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from Elohim, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the heavens saying, see, the booth or the tent of Elohim is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who was sitting on the throne said, see, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and trustworthy. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Aleph and the Tau. That's the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I shall give of the fountain of the water of life without payment. We've heard that before. The one who overcomes shall inherit all this, and I shall be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowardly and untrustworthy and abominable and murderers and those who whore and drug sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part is in the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And one of the seven messengers who had held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and spoke with me, saying, "Come, I shall show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Revelation 21:10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a high and great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the set apart Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from Elohim, having the esteem of Elohim, and her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and having a great and high wall, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 messengers, and names written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I wonder if Leah and Rachel would have been able to conceive of their children's names that they gave them would be on such a great city. Probably wouldn't have understood it at all. Okay. Ezekiel 47, beginning at verse 22 and 23, Ezekiel 47:22. "And it shall be that you divide it by lot as an inheritance for yourselves and for the strangers who sojourn in your midst and who bear children among you. And they shall be to you as native born among the children of Israel. With you they have an inheritance in the midst of the tribes of Israel. And it shall be that in whatever tribe the stranger sojourns, there you give him his inheritance, declares the Master Yahweh." Now, I have come into Israel in a different way. I haven't moved to the area of one of the tribes of Israel, but there's another principle that we find in Scripture, and that is that covenants often create a family relationship. And I have a covenant with an Israelite, so I expect to be able to enter in through one of these gates. The Israelite with whom I have a covenant is Yahshua the Messiah. He is from the tribe of Judah, so I expect that I will enter in through the Judah gate. Maybe somehow I'm related to another tribe, but not that I know of, but I'm solid that I have made a covenant with Yahshua, and I hope to enter in through the Judah gate. Okay. Revelation 21:13. There are three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 emissaries of the Lamb. You know that tribe, Yahshua's disciples. And the wall of, what I just read, and he who spoke with me had a golden measuring rod, only the best, and measured to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city was four-cornered, and its length is as great as its breadth. It's a square city. And he measured the city with a rod 2,200 kilometers. That's about 25 or 30,000 miles. Another translation has 12,000 miles, which would cover the eastern portion of the United States from the Mississippi to the Atlantic. Okay. The length and the breadth, now here's a zinger, and the height are equal. So whatever it is, wide and deep, it's that high too. Hundreds and hundreds of miles high. It's a good thing spirit beings don't need air to breathe, because that would put them over the limit. Yeah, I just did a few calculations, and I'm not really sure about how big this city is, but even at the smaller dimension of 1,200 miles cubed, there's plenty of room for everyone who has ever lived in this city. And, you know, they get a large place to live. And I'm not sure if a spirit being needs much of a place to live at all. Maybe they could live in a coffee box. And he measured its wall 65 meters, according to the measure of a man, that is, of a messenger. And the structure of its wall was jasper, that's a semi-precious stone. And the city was clean gold, like clear glass. And I don't know how you get clear gold, but it's not my problem. And the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation, jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, agate. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, ruby. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. Too bad there's no market for those stones in the millennial kingdom or the forever kingdom, because we don't trade in stones. You want some stones? Here's some diamonds. How's that? Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was clean gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no dwelling place in it, for Yahweh El Shaddai is its dwelling place, and the Lamb. And the city had no need of the sun, nor of the moon to shine in it, for the esteem of Elohim lightened it, and the Lamb is its lamp. And that's, we see why the gold has to be transparent, because being such a big cube, light isn't going to penetrate real gold or ordinary gold that we know. But the Lamb, Yahshua, is the lamp. And the Gentiles of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their esteem to it. And its gates shall not be shut at all by day, for night shall not be there. And they shall bring the esteem and the appreciation of the Gentiles into it. And there shall by no means enter into it whatever is unclean, neither anyone doing abomination and falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 22. You know this can't go much farther, because this is the last chapter in the Bible. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So I'm trying to develop a picture here. We have the Father and the Son on the throne, and in front of that throne is this large street, and it's got a river running down the park in the middle of the street. You've seen boulevards that have grass in the middle. Imagine this as a mega boulevard. And on each side of the stream, running down the middle, are these trees that give life when you eat the fruit, and they yield fruit every month. And I'm sure spirit beings don't need to eat fruit, but maybe they'll be able to enjoy it if they do eat it. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations, and no longer shall there be any curse. And the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads, and night shall be no more, and they shall have no need of a lamp or the light of the sun, because Yahweh Elohim shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And Yahweh Elohim of the set apart prophets has sent his messenger to show his servants what has to take place with speed. See, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who guards the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, Yohanan, the author, saw these matters, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the messenger who showed me these things. And he said to me, see, do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brothers and the prophets, and of those who are guarding the words of this book. Worship Elohim. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near, and the time is much nearer now than when these words were written. He who does wrong, let him do wrong, do more wrong. He who is filthy, let him be more filthy. He who is righteous, let him be more righteous. He who is set apart, let him be more set apart. And see, I am coming quickly, speedily, and my reward is with me to give to each according to his work. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those doing his commands, so that the authority shall be theirs unto the tree of life, and to enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs, and those who enchant with drugs, and those who whore and murderers, and the idolaters, and all those who love and do falsehood. I, Yahshua, have sent my messenger to witness to you these things in the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he who hears, let him say, come. And he who thirsts, come. And he who desires it, take the water of life without paying. For I witness to everyone hearing the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, Elohim shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Elohim shall take away his part from the book of life and out of the set apart city, which are written in this book. He that bears witness of these things says, yes, I am coming speedily. Amen. Yes. Come, Master Yahshua. In the favor of our Master Yahshua the Messiah, be with the set apart ones. Amen.